Anyway, that was my introduction to idolatry, because there are people out there who don't care about anything except money. And we can start in, it reminded me of the saying, and we've heard it before, money is the root of all evil. The love of money is the root of all evil. Now, if you read the King James Version, it says that the love of money is the root of all evil. Now, I use the New American Standard Bible, and it puts it this way: for the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil. So it puts a little different context on it. But I thought that the people that embrace the idea that the love of money is the root of all evil might take a little different attitude than this way with money, and they might develop somewhat of an unhealthy attitude about money, I don't know. But I'd like to go through the scriptures in this passage, because there are scriptures below this particular verse, and there are some above that kind of flesh out this verse. So, you know, like many scriptures, that's context that more fully explain the statement that's made. And so I wanted to go through those, and so we'll primarily be in 1 Timothy 6. So let's start off with, let's go immediately, for the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil. This is 1 Timothy 6:10. And some, by longing for it, have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. You know, that's an interesting way of putting it, pierced themselves with many griefs. It reminds me of the spear thrust that pierced Christ, and that was the final blow, and then he died. He gave up the spirit. So the longing for money has caused people to wander away from the faith and pierce themselves with many griefs. That idolatry is taking them away from the true values. Now, let's go into let's go back up now. I want to do this a little backwards and go from verse 10 to verse 9, because I think it is a trail of ideas that, to me, work for me in explaining this. For verse 9, 1 Timothy 6:9, but those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires, which plunge men into ruin and destruction. And people, for that longing for money can lead to criminality, becoming a robber, a burglar, committing fraud, you know, embezzlement, and it will plunge men into ruin and destruction, because when you get caught, you will fall, and life will not be the same. Risk imprisonment. Look at Bernie Madoff, had life in prison after his Ponzi scheme was unearthed, and a lot of people hated him, and he died in prison. Now let's back up another verse, verse 8. If we have food and covering, with these we shall be content. And so food and clothing, and I take covering also as housing also. If we have food and covering, with these we shall be content. You have the basics of life right there. And that should give you some contentment. Now, it doesn't mean you lack ambition. You can want to improve yourself. You can want to get a better position, a better higher income, live in a different place. But right there, you got the basics. So you don't want to, you know, contradict your faith, give up your faith, and become so focused on that that you lose your bearings and lose the calling of Jesus Christ. We want to stay on track because we should be content with food and covering. Now, then let's go to verse 7. For we have brought nothing into the world, so we cannot take anything out of it either. So that just puts it into perspective. You're born naked, not a stitch of clothing on, from your mother's womb, and you have no property, you have no money, you are totally dependent on your parents. And, you know, they're going to raise you, provide all your needs for you, until the time comes when you are old enough to start providing for yourself. So, and then let's go up again to verse 5. And this is talking about people, the men of depraved mind and deprived of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. It's just another way of feigning godliness, trying to follow, develop a following, but deprived of the truth, having a depraved mind, misleading people, and developing a system where they will send money and enrich themselves. And so that's why they think godliness, quote-unquote godliness, is a means of gain. But actually, verse 6 says, but godliness actually is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. And so that puts it together. Godliness is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. When you have your needs met in life, the basic needs, you should be content and you should develop godliness. That should be your next major goal. You can still have ambition, but don't leave godliness out of it. Now, let's drop down. Let's go the other way, down to verse 17 in 1 Timothy 6. This is about the rich. Instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. So don't commit idolatry with idollarity. That was pretty clever, I have to say. I like that. But to God, that's what we have to fix our hope on God, because riches are uncertain. I mean, if you don't believe it, if you have any money in the stock market, look what happened to it lately with the war in Ukraine. And look at inflation. Your money buys less. And look at, you know, the price of gasoline and all these things. And in L.A., and I think it's nationwide, the price of housing is going up. If you rent, you know, the riches certainly are an uncertainty. If you are a renter, let me say that, renter, and you don't own your own house, there is a degree of uncertainty there because the rents keep going up. They're not building enough houses in time or to solve this problem of homelessness. And I know it's atrociously expensive in Los Angeles. In fact, they're one of the homeless projects. They're building these what they call tiny houses, which it's like maybe 10 feet by 5 feet or something like that. It's enough space for one person, maybe two, to live, and it's got a stove, a toilet, water, I guess a shower, and a place to sleep. So it's a shelter, and it's meant to be what they quote unquote permanent housing. Not really. It's a way to get you housed, and so you can work on getting out of there. That's the idea. You don't continue to do drugs excuse me. I'm sorry. Oh, got a tickle on my nose. It's a way to get out of homelessness. But they're talking about, I think it's about $600,000 to build one of these after they go through the city permits and all that, and all the city requirements. So riches are uncertain. Ask the people in Ukraine who are losing everything right now. So we need to focus on God. And how would that change you if you lost everything? That would be a test. Would you still focus on God? Hopefully you'd focus on God more. But how would that change you? Because those who are rich in this present world, you're instructed to tell them not to be conceited, which, you know, if you got everything and people kind of look up to you, or, you know, you have a lot of service people, you can become conceited and fix your hope on those riches. But no, we don't want to do that. And then verse 18, more instruction for the rich. Instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share. And verse 19, storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is life indeed. Life indeed. That was an interesting phrase that caught my attention. If we go back to Timothy 5, and on 1 Timothy 5:16, if any woman who is a believer has dependent widows, she must assist them, and the church must not be burdened, so that it may assist those who are widows indeed. And what that means, the widows indeed, life indeed, that's really the true life. So we're living life right now. It's a physical life, but when they refer to life indeed, we're talking about that life beyond. That's real life, when you don't have to worry about death, you don't have to worry about sickness. When you are close to God, you understand God, you understand more perfectly His ways, and He's dwelling with you. That is life indeed, and that's what we strive for. So let's watch out during these days of unleavened bread. We have those things that we need to watch out for. And we know the fruits of the Holy Spirit, but Galatians 5, verse 20, well, 19. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousies, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and the things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So that is what, on these days that are coming up, we have to examine ourselves. Like Robert said, and cleanse ourselves, be prepared to cleanse ourselves through the blood of Jesus Christ, to find that hidden leaven, and to look at our attitude towards money also, and be wise as serpents, because there's another scripture in Luke 16, and I think I'll go to that. It's the parable of Jesus, and it's also relating to money. And he tells the parable of the shrewd manager. Now, he in verse Luke 16:1, now he was also saying to the disciples, there was a rich man who was had a manager, and his manager was reported to him as squandering his possessions. And he called him and said to him, "What is this I hear about you? Give an accounting of your management, for you can no longer be manager." And the manager said to himself, "What shall I do, since my master is taking the management away from me? I am not strong enough to dig. I'm ashamed to beg. I know that I shall do what I shall do, so that when I am removed from the management, people will welcome me into their homes." And he summoned each one of his master's debtors, and he began saying to the first, "How much do you owe, my master?" And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said, "Take your bill, sit down, and quickly write 50. And then he said to another, "And how much do you owe me?" And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said to him, "Take your bill and write 80. And his master praised the unrighteous manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the sons of this age are more shrewd in relation to their own kind than the sons of light. So this man was quick thinking on his feet, and he said, "Well, my manager, I've blown a lot of his money, and his cash flow is a little low. Well, I'm going to go out and I'm going to, try to get people collect money and make incentivize these people to pay me money now, so the manager's funds and his cash flow can improve." And he did it, and his master was impressed. I'm not sure if he kept them on. He might have or not, but nevertheless, this fellow, as Jesus said, "I make friends for yourself by means of life, means of the wealth through unrighteousness, so that when it fails, they will receive you into eternal dwelling." So this guy had made a lot of friends by discounting their debt, and so he would have a place to stay. And so there is a degree of, you should be shrewd, we should be wise. It's, what is it? Shrewd as serpents and harmless as doves, something like that. But hopefully we don't run into that situation. We're not bad managers. We strive to be good managers and manage what God gives us wisely, because he who is faithful in little will be faithful in many. So, I think that a word to the wise is sufficient. So now we're going to close with prayer, and we will see you next week. David Antion will be back next week to present another message, and we will see you then. If you bow your heads. Father in heaven above, we thank you very much for this Sabbath day. We thank you for this time to be together, to share information, to hear songs of uplift, to be able to sing, to reflect, to hear your word, to praise you, and to recommit ourselves to walk your way, walk in your ways. And we ask that you will help us to prepare and take seriously the Lord's Supper. And we ask that you'll bless the meetings and services and assembly of all those who meet during your holy days, that you will bless it and you will make it a joyful occasion. So, Father in heaven, we just thank you very much for all the blessings you give us daily. And we just glorify your name and praise you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.